92.9 The Game tonight.
For the next hour, tune in or listen on the Odyssey app
as we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
We're going up tonight.
Yeah, like I say, just turn up and listen.
That's the way to lead the show.
It's 92.9 The Game tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, what's up, Atlanta? Sometimes the off-air conversation I wish I could bring to you, because it is a whole nother radio show inside of itself. But I will be sharing with you everything I can tonight, right here on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game, Chris Thomas with you until 10 o'clock, full three. And we have an absolute metric ton to get into. Got my buddy Oren Romaine hanging out. And before we get into the show, I just want to say this. I had talked about for a while now of my decreasing affinity for the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the franchises that have ensued in the recent years since Endgame, I think was what, or in 2018, something like that, 2019 was Avengers Endgame, and kind of tapped out since then, I'm not going to lie. The TV shows, the movies, they have just not been the same. And then I went and saw Deadpool and Wolverine this weekend. Holy crap. That's all I'm going to say for now, because I got a couple of shows this weekend where I really want to dive into that and we can have some fun. It was so good. Oh, my goodness. And then they did something. Oren, did you see this announcement that they made with Robert Downey Jr.? As Dr. Doom.
No idea how this is going to work, even in the multiverse. Zero idea how this is going
to
work.
Well, it's so funny, because no spoilers, and then we'll get to the Braves here in just a second. They addressed the multiverse in Deadpool and Wolverine.
They did, absolutely.
They made a, shall I say, declarative statement about it, as a matter of fact. So I am really interested to see how in the world are they going to finagle your main character of a decade-long franchise is now playing one of the most iconic villains.
Iconic villains, not just in Marvel history, but in, like, comic book lore.
So, if you missed it, at Comic-Con, they saved it for the end. They brought out a Doctor Doom character with the mask on, and then it was revealed to be RDJ. I am shocked and floored. I have my theories, but again, I'll save those. A five-day head tease to my 4-hour Saturday show, and I got a 3-hour show on Sunday as well. All right. So we got some good news. If you're just getting in your car, driving home, late commute, Reynaldo Lopez appears to be fine. And according to all of our good buddies that cover the Braves, Justin Toscano, David O'Brien, our own Grant McCauley, he could be on track to make his next start. So it looks like we dodged a major bullet there. Also, Maximus Fried appears to be on the mend. He could be potentially making a start this weekend. So where does that leave with, I'm bad at math, just under 23 hours left before the MLB trade deadline for the Atlanta Braves? Here's my question to you. Line them up. Let's work this through together, Braves fans. 404-726-0929. Got a late start tonight in Milwaukee, as I said in the crosstalk with Dukes and Bell. Going to have Bart Winkler on. He is from Milwaukee, covers all the teams there. He's also the national nighttime host. He'll be on right after I'm done on Infinity Sports Network. So here's my question. Should the Atlanta Braves make a move before tomorrow's deadline? It's not as easy a question or an answer as it is a question. Again, the question is easy. Should the Atlanta Braves make a move before tomorrow's trade deadline at 6 o'clock? I'll give you reasons for, and I'll give you reasons against. And you let me know. 404-726-0929. Here's reasons for. Again, I just said, you're getting Max Fried back. You're getting Lopez back. If they can both stay healthy with Sale, that's maybe the best 1-2-3 in all of baseball. Right? So you can go into a playoff series thinking we are in as good a shape as anyone in baseball to win a series, because we got three studs. We got three aces, really, in Fried, Lopez, and Sale. Matt Olson and Austin Riley, I'm not going to declare anything, right, Oren? We're not declaring on this show, but we are maybe suggesting that they could be on the right track because they had really good weekends, both of them. So we'll see what they do in this series in Milwaukee. So if they start trending in the right direction, you get your pitching back. Are we cooking now? If you get another starter, if you get a veteran outfielder, I know a lot of them have been on the trade block. Jazz Chisholm Jr., gone. Randy Arozarena, gone. A lot of the big pieces are gone. Eric Fetty, gone. Lane Thomas, gone. A lot of guys that were going to be out there for the Braves to potentially get are no longer gettable. Here's the negative side. Again, 404-726-0929. What do you think? With the state of the Braves right now, the good news about Reynaldo Lopez, but still, they haven't exactly been playing dominating baseball the last couple of months. Simply put, should the Braves make a move? Here are reasons against it. No Ronald Acuna Jr. for the rest of the year. No Spencer Strider for the rest of the year. Fourth and fifth starter at this point, Morton is hit or miss every other start. Was bad again. Fifth starter, Schwellenbach. Yeah, is he coming around? Yeah, looked pretty good this weekend, I'd say. 11 Ks, best start of his career. Can you really count on him down the stretch of a playoff run? Guy's never done it before. Need I remind you, I'm not saying he is him, but look what happened to Bryce Elder at the end of last year. Dude literally was unthrowable by the end of the season. So you're looking at situations right now where the Braves are, I would say, in a pickle. I'll use that to be nice. They are in a pickle. Because what is this franchise doing with 23 hours left and kind of stuck at a fork in the road between contender or pretender? Because I think, again, as I just laid out, there are arguments to be made for both sides, to quote Sean Connery. It's 404-726-0929. Get on the line and you tell me. Should the Atlanta Braves be buyers or should they stand pat as AA continues to go through the Rolodex, call other teams in the league, and see what it's going to cost? The other part of this conversation is, what's the cost, right? Here's the thing for me. Oren, let me see if you agree with this statement. There is no Braves prospect off limits. How do you feel about that statement? Because I think that should be true. They do not have a single prospect, in my opinion, that should not be up for debate in terms of making a trade.
On the surface, I would agree with you, but I think there's a couple of guys that they're not going to let. No, let me rephrase that. I think there's one guy they're not going to let go of.
Waldrop?
Waldrop.
Yeah. But even still, if you're getting, what if you can get back a pitcher with 2 or 3 years left to control?
Then absolutely, you have to make that move. But knowing them, they'd counter with, well, we have this many years of control of Hurston Waldrop. So while we have 2 or 3 years of this guy, we'll have 9 years of Hurston Waldrop.
Yeah, unfortunately, that doesn't help you now because Waldrop had a 7 ERA when he came up to the Braves. So he's not ready yet. Hopefully, he will be next year. But okay, so again, here's the question, and I'll give you the reasoning one more time. Can the Braves afford to stand pat and just go through the motions for the rest of the season, meaning not making any more significant moves and we're going to just be what we are? Or are they in a position still, in your opinion, to make a big move or a medium-sized move or a small-sized move before the trade deadline tomorrow at 6 o'clock? If Olsen and Riley continue to hit like they have been the past couple of days, that's a check sign, plus sign, whatever you want to call it, in the go-for-it column. If Max Fried and Reynaldo Lopez come back and pitch like they were pitching, that is a check and a plus in the column for make a move. Are you willing to let another year go by of Matt Olson's contract, of Austin Riley's contract, Max Fried maybe his last year here? Are you willing to give up a year potentially because you're not good enough to make a move that makes you good enough to make a deep playoff run? That's a check. That's a plus in the go-for-it column. In the negative column, you know you're not getting Spencer Strider back. You know you're not getting Ronald Acuna back. You know you're, I mean, essentially at this point, I guess anything could happen. Probably not winning the division, although I guess some could argue that would be a plus and a check in the positive column based on the way the playoff series have gone the last couple of years. But you know that you're in a position right now where you have more holes to fill than just one guy coming in and making a difference. So there's arguments on both sides. There really are, to making a compelling case for what the Braves should do by this time tomorrow. If I'm double A, here's my take on it. If I'm double A, I can't waste the season, right? Because nobody knows what the future holds. Is Ronald Acuña Jr. coming back and being Ronald Acuña Jr.? Is Spencer Strider coming back and being Spencer Strider? We don't know. We can't predict these things. We can't predict the future. So I think it's really important to maximize this window. I always joke about the piece of paper that used to be here in the studio that had all the Braves lined up together and all the years that they're signed through. But you're going to turn around and, you know, 2027 is going to be here before you know it. And Ozzie's going to be older, and Ronnie's going to be older, and Olsen and Riley are going to be older. And what are you looking up at? How many championships do you have? You're in it right now. You are in a position to compete for a playoff spot. You're in a playoff spot right now. So why would you not do everything in your power to make that happen? All right, when we get back, we'll line up your calls. We'll take them, 404-726-0929. Got a full segment to rock with you before our first guest joins. Matt Verderam of SI NFL Writer will whip around all the National Football League headlines, including what's going on at Flowery Branch. We're back at it tomorrow. Oof, that 6 a.m. alarm is waiting for me right around the corner, but we love it. We love hanging out at Flowery Branch. We'll be there Wednesday as well. And then Friday, hanging out at Mercedes-Benz for the open practice. So big week of all Falcons coverage, pillar to post, on your only place for it, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But when we get back, we are less than 24 hours away from the MLB trade deadline. Should the Braves make a move, or is their best move to just stand pat? Your calls are next, 404-726-0929. Chris Thomas with you till 10 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. To make a move or not to make a move, that is the question for the Atlanta Braves. We are less than 24 hours away from the MLB trade deadline. So far, they have made one minor acquisition to bring in Whit Merrifield, who then proceeded to break his nail in half and have it sewn back shut, which is one of the gnarlier things I've ever heard in my entire life. We'll see if he can eventually help the Braves. I don't really know if he will. All right, so here's the deal, right? You can make a move, go all in, say, you know, blank the prospects. I don't care. Everybody's up for grabs. You'll probably have to give up a Schwellenbach or an A.J. Smith-Shawver, although you can't really afford to give up Schwellenbach right now because he's helping the major league club. But still, like an A.J. Smith-Shawver type of level of prospect. And see what you can get, because I think, like, you don't make a move right now to go get the equivalent of Jake Odorizzi, right? Like, that hasn't worked. It doesn't work. It'll never work. You go out and get a Will Smith type. He won you a World Series. For as much crap as we give him, Orin, if I'm not mistaken, he had a perfect save record in that playoff run.
He was 7-for-7.
Exactly. So you can go get a guy like that, or you can go get another outfield bat. I would prioritize starting pitching right now just because I think you have more questions there. I think, you know, if Kelnick can get back on track, yes, Jared Kelnick can get back on track. You know, Duvall can keep pitching in. You're kind of just piecemealing the thing together. And Ramon Laureano, he had a bad night the other day, but then he hit a home run, so maybe he can help out. But the starting pitching depth has just been the problem the entire time. Although, again, if you missed it, we just found out we got some good news today about Reynaldo Lopez. He should be fine. He should be able to make his next start. And then Max Fried should be coming off the IL sometime soon as well. So my question is simple. With less than 24 hours, should the Braves stand pat, or should they make a move and go all in? And I think there are several reasons why you can say both are the correct option. Matt Olson, Austin Riley, trending up. That's a check mark for make a move. Getting the pitchers back, that's a check mark for making the move. being atop of the wild card still is a obvious reason for making a move. And the overall state of the team, they haven't it's funny, like they've teetered on total collapse, but they've never actually sank through the roof. They've gotten to as low as what, like 6 games above .500, 5 games above .500, but then they win a few in a row and they crank it back up to where they are right now. So it's been a really interesting case study in where this team has been all season, right? So, and then on the other side of the coin, you know your two horses are gone in Ronald Acuña Jr. and Spencer Strider. They're not walking through that door until next year. So if you don't have those guys, can you win a World Series anyway? Do you have enough depth, as we're talking about? You know, is this team capable of weathering the storm? Like, you know, if Ronaldo Lopez had hit the 15-day IL, I tweeted this out last night at C. Thomas Radio. I don't know, man. Like, who's pitching? Like, Grant Holmes is starting tonight, guys. You know, they called up Darius Vines, again, to come pitch potentially long relief tonight or get the start tomorrow. They are as thin can be. Smith Shawver should be back shortly. You know, what are you doing at this point? You got to get somebody. Eric Fetty went off the market today. He's a quality arm. There have been guys that have gone. I don't know how much time right now that you're going to spend, you know, really competing if your rotation is, you know, Reynaldo Lopez, Chris Sale, a bad Charlie Morton, Max Fried. You know, it's just, it's not enough. It's 3.5 out of 5 at best. Schwellenbach, I know he's been good, but is he a proven commodity? I don't know if I trust him every fifth day. Like, just keep proving me wrong is the point, I guess, there, right? So 404-726-0929. You tell me, you're double A, you're Alex Anthopoulos right now. Do you make a move if you're a Braves fan? Or do you stand pat? By this time tomorrow, we will know the answer. You tell me. Kyron leads us off tonight. Kyron, you're in the game. Go ahead. Kyron was so torn about what to do, he couldn't even bring it to the air. He was sitting there on hold saying, I don't know what the Braves are going to do, and I'm just going to throw something against the wall at Turtle to see if it sticks. But then when it came time to shine, he couldn't do it. And you know what's funny, in all seriousness? That's kind of where the Braves are right now, right? In an ironic twist of fate. I mean, this is not an easy decision, because if you go get somebody worth their salt, it's going to cost you. And you have precious, precious few assets right now in order to make this work. You're not 10 deep in starting pitchers. You're certainly not 10 deep in position players. You might not even be 3 deep in position players. I think they got one kid in double A who's really doing something. I think there's a Gurriel floating around, I should say, in Gwinnett. But he's first base slash DH. And, like, those positions are, you know, there's nowhere for him to go. I mean, he could be a pinch hitter, essentially, and what good is that? So there's just nobody there. Nacho's up, right? Nacho! As Dukes and Bell like to say. But, okay, so Ozzie's going to be back when exactly? Playoffs, start of the playoffs, essentially, right? So there's another check, unfortunately, in the negative column if you're looking at this, saying, hey, we have all these players down. How likely is it that all these backups are stepping up to a point to keep us in contention? You're asking a lot from these players. It's not an easy thing to say, Nacho Alvarez, keep it up. Spencer Schwellenbach, keep it up. You're counting on these really young guys who have never done it before. Orlando Arcia, he hit a home run the other day. Where has that been? He's been awful. Again, your starting shortstop position has been completely anemic. So I'm just not entirely sure where you go in this situation. But if I'm double A, I'm doing it. Because you only have these players for so long. It's a finite window. It's a rare situation to have this level of collection of talent, right? It's a rare situation to have this amount of all-star level players on a team at any given time. It just doesn't happen this often. You saw it with the Braves in the 90s, the Yankees in the 90s. Sometimes you get lucky and your farm system, you produce really well and you make a couple of really good trades. And then all of a sudden, you're in this dream sort of scenario that the Braves are in. Can you, and the point of that is, can you afford to waste a year of that? Because I think if you don't make a move, realistically, this team's not good enough, right? If you don't make a move tomorrow, the starting pitching depth, the infield depth, the outfield depth could be questioned as well. Are you really putting yourself in contention to make a move? I would have to argue no. But if you can strike gold on bringing in somebody like you did in 2021, I think you have a real shot. Again, 404-726-0929. The question tonight is simple. If you are AA, you have less than 24 hours to make a move. Do you pull the trigger or do you ride with what you got? Because it's not as cut and dry as you may think. It's really not. And I think it's been proven by their apprehension to make a splashy move leading up to this point. We're so close to the deadline, and they still haven't, maybe they decided if they're going to pull the trigger or not. And if they did, they haven't decided to make that move yet. Or maybe they've tried to make a move, and the ask was too high, or they felt like they were getting lowballed on an offer. I have no idea. But the bottom line is, at 7:30, the night before the trade deadline, Whit Merrifield, you know, off of waivers, is basically the only thing they've done. So that's not exactly inspiring confidence in that regard, but maybe AA feels that, you know, Spencer Schwellenbach, the way he's pitching right now, is as good or better out of any of the guys that are left out there. Maybe he feels like, you know, despite that bonehead play that, you know, Ramon Laureano was playing pretty well before he had that really, really awful one game and he got hurt. So maybe he feels like, hey, Ramon Laureano at his best is just as good as any player that I'm going to get. So what does it matter? Like, why am I going to, you know, just bring somebody in for the sake of bringing somebody in that's at that replacement level? So I get it. It's a really tough decision. And again, it further complicates things that your farm system is in the shape that it's in. Now, I'm not mad at the farm system being in the shape that it's in because it got you to where you are now, right? Which is a perennial World Series contender. And make no mistake about it, right, Oren? Like, if they had Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuna Jr. healthy right now, one would think they would be in contention for a World Series.
One would absolutely think that, yes.
Yeah, so
it'll be right with thinking that, too.
Yeah, and the fact that they're still this competitive minus those two guys, I think, is just a testament to the entire team that AA has built. And you can really see, you know, the depth not only of the major league roster but of the minor league roster being tested right now. And the ultimate reality is you just don't have as much to go to as you did 3 or 4 years ago while all these guys were making their way to the point where they are now. You know, Freddie Freeman becoming, you know, arguably the best first baseman in baseball. Dansby Swanson earned a $150 million contract. Not that he's quite lived up to it this year. His numbers in Chicago are yikes. But he earned it through his play with the Braves. It was a lot easier to go back into the farm system when those guys were coming up because the depth was so much greater. But what was the trade-off for that? You weren't as good at the major league level. Now the tide has shifted in the complete opposite direction, right? You're really, really strong at the major league level. But when you have a season like this, which, to be completely fair, I don't think anybody could have predicted all of these injuries. I mean, you always account for some injuries during the season, but not losing your ace pitcher, your best player, your second baseman for 2 months, your shortstop is producing at a single A level, your catcher gets hurt for a while. I mean, to predict all that stuff, and if all that stuff happens, I mean, most teams, simply put, just wouldn't be in the space that the Braves are now. So again, it's not as easy as of a decision as it's been made out to be. We will find out what AA chooses to do in less than 24 hours from now. And of course, we will keep you posted on every single move the Braves do or quite frankly do not make. All right, 404-726-0929 is the number if you want to get in. When we get back, it is training camp time, baby. I got a ton of questions about everything going on in the NFL. We're going to bring in one of my favorites and one of the best in the biz, Matt Verderam of SI. He's going to do a whip around for us. You want to hear about what's going on, not just at Flowery Branch, but of the entire NFL? Oh, you don't go anywhere. Chris Thomas hanging out with you till 10 o'clock tonight. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Coming up in less than 20 minutes, I'm going to have a conversation with Orin James Romaine. Steve Kerr made a wrong decision, and it's not the one you think. I'll explain that coming up at the top of the hour. But right now, we are all football all the time, baby. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, your exclusive home for Falcons coverage. We are back at Flowery Branch tomorrow and Wednesday, and then at Mercedes-Benz on Friday for the open practice. We gave away some tickets for that last week if you were listening to Dukes and Bell. So to talk about the Falcons and all things NFL, the great Matt Verderam joins me on the WadeFord.com hotline. You can check out his work at SI and on his Twitter as well. Matt, appreciate the time. How are we doing?
I am good. I literally just pulled into Green Bay, and I am looking at Lambeau Field from my hotel room. So I am well. How are you?
Wow. What, that is a sight for sore eyes on a Monday evening. I have to say I'm pretty jealous. Although I will say the humid swamp that is Flowery Branch is a nice home for us as well here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You know what? With that, how about we start there? Jordan Love gets his bag. He is obviously a rising star in the league, but the sample size, Matt, to get all that money is really just a couple of games.
Yeah, and look, I mean, they're basically paying him off for what he did the back half of last season. I mean, there's no way to argue it. That's reality. You know, now the Packers would also tell you, listen, it's not just that. You know, they saw him for, you know, what, 3 years backing up Aaron Rodgers. So they saw his work habits. They know who he is in the building. They know the kind of relationships that he has with the players and coaches. So I do think that matters. But, yeah, let's be real. I mean, they're looking at the last 8 to 10 games from a year ago. They're looking at throwing for over 4,000 yards, over 30 touchdowns, winning a playoff game on the road in Dallas, playing very well against San Francisco for a large chunk of that game. And they're saying, hey, we win the Super Bowl with this kid if he plays like this. And I don't disagree with him. Like, I don't blame the Packers, even though it's a small sample size, for paying Jordan Love what they paid him. I'd rather pay Jordan Love what they paid him than be in the Dolphins' shoes right now. And we've seen Tua for 4 years.
Is there a chance, and I know a lot of things would have to break right, that they're actually the third best team in their division?
Is there a chance? Yeah. I think the Packers are the second team, though. I think Detroit, I think, is going to go to the Super Bowl this year. They're my pick out of the NFC. So I'm high on the Lions. I'll see them in a few weeks. But I like the Packers more than the Bears. I think the Bears are good. I actually think three teams are coming out of that division for the playoffs. I think all three of them are going to make it, although I think the Bears are more 50-50. I think I'd be very surprised if Packers don't get in. I think they're a team. There's a lot of young pass catchers, should only mature this year. I like their draft. I think, you know, Rashawn Gary, I like as a guy, could maybe be an all-pro for the first time in his career. He's a very underrated player. I like that they switched D coordinators. So, yeah, I think Green Bay is not as much of a high-ceiling team as the Lions, in my opinion, but I think they're a solid 10-11 win team.
Out of all the smoke going on in Dallas right now, who do you think remains there long-term and who are they waving the white flag to in terms of their career in Dallas?
They're going to pay CeeDee Lamb. They're going to pay him. I mean, at some point here, he's going to get close to Justin Jefferson money. That's just what it is. It's how it works. You know, he'll get his 4-140 or 4-136 or something like that. Dak is far more interesting. They cannot tag him. So if this thing plays out through the year like it looks like it's going to, and he plays, let's say he plays well. Like, people act like Dak Prescott was this, you know, mediocre guy a year ago. He was second in MVP voting. Like, if he goes out this year and throws for 4,300 yards and 30 touchdowns, and they win 10 games, and he hits the market, he's getting $60 million from somebody. Now, could it be Dallas? Yeah, sure. Wouldn't be the first time that Jerry's overplayed a hand and then had to go back and pay a guy, but you know, if you're Prescott, do you want to go back at that point? Would you rather go somewhere else? So, look, Lamb, I think, will definitely be there. Dak, I think, is much more of a coin flip.
Talking with Matt Verderam. Make sure you follow his stuff as he is whipping around training camps across the NFL at Sports Illustrated. All right, another interesting situation going down is, to me, in Baltimore. I think you said that, you know, Detroit could come out of the NFC. I think Baltimore is primed this year as much as ever to take down Kansas City and come out of the AFC. Lamar back at practice, says he's healthy. The addition of Derrick Henry, the defense is back. What do you make of their chances of coming out?
You know, it's funny. I actually feel like if they couldn't do it last year, I just don't see it. So you and I are a little bit on opposite sides of this. So I feel like last year was just such an opportunity for them, and they scored 7 points for 58 minutes of that game.
You're right.
Look, the reality of Baltimore is this. You know what they are. They're going to play good defense. Now, they lost some players, and they lost McDonald, but they're going to play good defense. It's who they are. It's what they do. Zach Orr was there under that coaching regime under McDonald, and he played there and was excellent before he got hurt. He'll have that defense ready to go. They'll play good defense. They'll run the hell out of the football. Derrick Henry's Derrick Henry. They're going to run just fine. The question with them is always the same thing. Can they get chunk passing yards when they need it in the playoffs? I mean, I know Zay Flowers can play. I know Mark Andrews can play. And Lamar Jackson is a very, very good quarterback. Like, it's not – look, early in his career, there were definitely, like, legitimate things like him throwing the football. That's not a concern now. But when they get in the playoffs, that offense all year is so geared towards running you over. It's hard to change gears in January when you're facing – the best defenses in the NFL. It's hard to do that. And that's my question with the Raiders. I still think they're a playoff team. I like Cincinnati in the division, but I'll be the first one to say the Bengals have a lot of questions. Whether or not they win the North or not, they're going to be there. They'll be in the divisional round. They might even be back in the AFC title game. But when they've got to have it, when it's 3rd and 9 in a playoff game and you are having a hard time running the ball, can they do it? That's my question. It's been my question with them for years.
Simply put, is it still running through the AFC, still runs through KC?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, they've gone to the Super Bowl 4 out of the last 5 years. And every year we sit here and there was a couple of years ago where people were picking them to finish last in the division because they lost Tyreek Hill and the Raiders went out and got Devontae Adams and so on and so forth. You know, Russell Wilson to Denver that whole offseason. And all the Chiefs did was go out and go 14-3 and win the Super Bowl. And then last year, everybody, including myself, threw every grain of dirt you could possibly find on them after that Christmas Day debacle against the Raiders, and they never lost another game. And they went and had one of maybe the best runs in playoff history to win the Super Bowl. I think they're better this year. And they go out and get Hollywood Brown. Xavier Worthy has been electrifying in camp. Everybody I talked to has said, hey, look, Snead is a loss. There's no question about that. But the defense is still a really, really good, you know, top 5, top 6 type defense. If they have a defense that's that good with that coaching staff, and they added Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy to that offense, I mean, who's stopping them in that division? Right? So they're going to win the division. And then it just becomes a question, are they a 1 seed? And if they're a 1 or a 2, well, somebody's probably going to have to go to Arrowhead and beat them. So, look, history will tell you they won't three-peat. That's just what doesn't happen. But if you said to me, who are you picking? It's them. Until somebody proves otherwise, them.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I think they're in as good a position as any team to three-peat based on everything you just ran down, Matt. They're kind of in the catbird seat. I know San Fran will have something to say about it. Maybe they'll get back there, or the Lions as well. Another team in the NFC I wanted to ask you about is Philadelphia. The Falcons will see Philly in Week 2. I can't make heads or tails of them. The way that they started versus the way that they finished is the biggest collapse in the regular season I've ever seen. How do you think they rebound?
I think they win the division because somebody has to. I think Dallas is just in a very weird spot. Dallas is one of these teams I feel like they have no confidence in themselves because the front office and the ownership show no confidence. The Giants, to me, are horrific offensively. I actually think Washington's better than people might think, but I don't think they're quite ready to, go in the division. The Eagles, I got to be honest. That thing, I know it's not great radio. That could go both ways. That could either be, hey, they figured some things out. They rectified some things. They shored up a few relationships, and they go in 11 games. That could also be the team is completely quit on Sirianni, and by Week 4, everybody's calling up Philadelphia radio screaming that he's got to be fired. I don't think there's any team in the league, with the possible exception of the Jets, that the first month of the year is more important for. If they don't get off to a good start, that could be a disaster in Philadelphia.
You just mentioned the Jets. Rodgers made news again today, this time for apparently taking his team to task after a sloppy practice. What do you make of the Jets this season? If Rodgers comes back and plays healthy, what's their potential?
Well, so I guess there's two answers to that. So the potential is that they're really good, because they should have a good defense. They should have a very good defense. And you have Mike Williams now, and you have Garrett Wilson, and you have Breece Hall, and a revamped offensive line. You have Rodgers. So the potential is that they're really good. The potential is they win the division. They're in the divisional round. They're going to Arrowhead, and they're a real pain for Kansas City. Maybe they beat them. My prediction of them is I don't think they even make the playoffs, because Tyron Smith is there, and he's a terrific player. He's hurt all the time.
Yeah.
Mike Williams is a terrific player. He's hurt all the time. I have no idea if Robert Saleh can coach. Zero. Nat Hackett, Nathaniel Hackett, I know he can't coach. I've seen that over and over and over. It's not against the man personally. It's not great. I think they're defensively going to be very good again. They should be. I don't doubt that. They'll get Reddick in there at some point. He'll help. But offensively, like, if Mike Williams doesn't come in and play really well, what are you talking about? It's Garrett Wilson and what? I mean, it's nobody who scares you on the outside other than him. They don't have a tight end that scares you. Breece Hall's fine as a running back. He's a good player, but we're not talking about Adrian Peterson in his prime. Like, and I just don't believe in the coaching staff. And I also think, like you just point out, so Rodgers takes the team to task after a tough practice. You're going to tell me there aren't a handful of guys sitting there going, hey, man, you weren't even here for minicamp.
Yep.
Like, who are you kidding? You know, it just feels so disingenuous. And if I'm a veteran on the Jets, I won't say exactly what I would be thinking. It's a family show. I'd be like, are you kidding me? Get lost. I don't want to hear from you about anything about practice. You didn't bother to show up for it.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I don't. But the problem is, Matt, I don't think anyone on that team has the gravitas to approach Rodgers and convey that message even kindly on behalf of his teammates, and I think that's part of the problem there in New York. They not only handed the keys to the franchise to him, they handed the keys to the entire Jet organization. He reports directly to Woody Johnson. Yeah. He skips over Robert Saleh, Joe Douglas, anything he wants, he gets. So what about the team on the other side of town there? Is there any chance, because I frankly don't think so, Daniel Jones is back as the Giants quarterback next season?
No. That is one of the look, every once in a while, there's a contract in sports that the second it's signed, you look at it and you know it's a disaster. Like, you don't even need to see one snap and you're like, oh, that's terrible. Who? Why? Who's doing this? Daniel Jones, that contract, that.
Coming up in less than 20 minutes, I'm going to have a conversation with Orin James Romaine. Steve Kerr made a wrong decision. And it's not the one you think. I'll explain that coming up at the top of the hour. But right now, we are all football all the time, baby. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, your exclusive home for Falcons coverage. We are back at Flowery Branch tomorrow and Wednesday, and then at Mercedes-Benz on Friday for the open practice. We gave away some tickets for that last week if you were listening to Dukes and Bell. So to talk about the Falcons and all things NFL, the great Matt Verderam joins me on the Wade4.com hotline. You can check out his work at SI and on his Twitter as well. Matt, appreciate the time. How are we doing?
I am good. I literally just pulled into Green Bay, and I am looking at Lambeau Field from my hotel room. So I am well. How are you?
Wow. What, that is a sight for sore eyes on a Monday evening. I have to say I'm pretty jealous. Although I will say the humid swamp that is Flowery Branch is a nice home for us as well here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You know what? With that, how about we start there? Jordan Love gets his bag. He is obviously a rising star in the league, but the sample size, Matt, to get all that money is really just a couple of games.
Yeah, and look, I mean, they're basically paying him off for what he did the back half of last season. I mean, there's no way to argue it. That's reality. Now the Packers would also tell you, listen, it's not just that. You know, they saw him for, 3 years backing up Aaron Rodgers. So they saw his work habits. They know who he is in the building. They know the kind of relationships that he has with the players and coaches. So I do think that matters. But, yeah, let's be real. I mean, they're looking at the last 8 to 10 games from a year ago. They're looking at throwing for over 4,000 yards, over 30 touchdowns, winning a playoff game on the road in Dallas, playing very well against San Francisco for a large chunk of that game. And they're saying, hey, we win the Super Bowl with this kid if he plays like this. And I don't disagree with him. Like, I don't blame the Packers, even though it's a small sample size, for paying Jordan Love what they paid him. I'd rather pay Jordan Love what they paid him than be in the Dolphins' shoes right now. And we've seen Tua for 4 years.
Is there a chance, and I know a lot of things would have to break right, that they're actually the third best team in their division?
Is there a chance? Yeah. I think the Packers are the second team, though. I think Detroit, I think, is going to go to the Super Bowl this year. They're my pick out of the NFC. So I'm high on the Lions. I'll see them in a few weeks. But I like the Packers more than the Bears. I think the Bears are good. I actually think three teams are coming out of that division for the playoffs. I think all three of them are going to make it. Although I think the Bears are more 50-50. I think I'd be very surprised if Packers don't get in. I think they're a team. There's a lot of young pass catchers, should only mature this year. I like their draft. I think, you know, Rashawn Gary, I like as a guy, could maybe be an all-pro for the first time in his career. He's a very underrated player. I like that they switched D coordinators. So, yeah, I think Green Bay is not as much of a high-ceiling team as the Lions, in my opinion, but I think they're a solid 10-11 win team.
Out of all the smoke going on in Dallas right now, who do you think remains there long-term, and who are they waving the white flag to in terms of their career in Dallas?
They're going to pay CeeDee Lamb. They're going to pay him. I mean, at some point here, he's going to get close to Justin Jefferson money. That's just what it is. It's how it works. You know, he'll get his 4-140 or 4-136 or something like that. Dak is far more interesting. They cannot tag him. So if this thing plays out through the year like it looks like it's going to, and he plays, let's say he plays well, like people act like Dak Prescott was this, you know, mediocre guy a year ago. He was second in MVP voting. Like if he goes out this year and throws for 4,300 yards and 30 touchdowns, and they win 10 games, and he hits the market, he's getting $60 million from somebody. Now, could it be Dallas? Yeah, sure. Wouldn't be the first time that Jerry's overplayed a hand and then had to go back and pay a guy. But you know, if you're Prescott, do you want to go back at that point? Would you rather go somewhere else? So, look, Lamb, I think, will definitely be there. Dak, I think, is much more of a coin flip.
Talking with Matt Verderin, make sure you follow his stuff as he is whipping around training camps across the NFL at Sports Illustrated. All right, another interesting situation going down is, to me, in Baltimore. I think you said that, you know, Detroit could come out of the NFC. I think Baltimore is primed this year as much as ever to take down Kansas City and come out of the AFC. Lamar back at practice, says he's healthy. The addition of Derrick Henry, the defense is back. What do you make of their chances of coming out?
You know, it's funny. I actually feel like if they couldn't do it last year, I just don't see it. So you and I are a little bit on opposite sides of this. So I feel like last year was just such an opportunity for them, and they scored 7 points for 58 minutes of that game.
You're right.
The reality of Baltimore is this. You know they are. They're going to play good defense. Now, they lost some players and they lost McDonald, but they're going to play good defense. It's who they are. It's what they do. Zach Orr was there under that coaching regime under McDonald, and he played there and was excellent before he got hurt. He'll have that defense ready to go. They'll play good defense. They'll run the hell out of the football. Derrick Henry's Derrick Henry. They're going to run just fine. The question with them is always the same thing. Can they get chunk passing yards when they need it in the playoffs? I mean, I know Zay Flowers can play. I know Mark Andrews can play. And Lamar Jackson is a very, very good quarterback. Like, it's not – look, early in his career, there were definitely, like, legitimate things like him throwing the football. That's not a concern now. But when they get in the playoffs, that offense all year is so geared towards running you over. It's hard to change gears in January when you're facing – the best defenses in the NFL. It's hard to do that. And that's my question with the Raiders. I still think they're a playoff team. I like Cincinnati in the division, but I'll be the first one to say the Bengals have a lot of questions. Whether or not they win the North or not, they're going to be there. They'll be in the divisional round. They might even be back in the AFC title game. But when they've got to have it, when it's 3rd and 9 in a playoff game and you are having a hard time running the ball, can they do it? That's my question. It's been my question with them for years.
Simply put, is it still running through, the AFC still runs through KC?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, they've gone to the Super Bowl 4 out of the last 5 years. And every year we sit here and we go, I mean, there was a couple of years ago where people were picking them to finish last in the division because they lost Tyreek Hill and the Raiders went out and got Devontae Adams and so on and so forth. You know, Russell Wilson at Denver that whole offseason. And all the Chiefs did was go out and go 14-3 and win the Super Bowl. And then last year, everybody, including myself, threw every grain of dirt you could possibly find on them after that Christmas Day debacle against the Raiders, and they never lost another game. And they went and had one of maybe the best runs in playoff history to win the Super Bowl. I think they're better this year. And they go out and get Hollywood Brown. Xavier Worthy has been electrifying in camp. Everybody I talked to has said, hey, look, Snead is a loss. There's no question about that. But the defense is still a really, really good, you know, top five, top six type defense. If they have a defense that's that good with that coaching staff, and they added Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy to that offense, I mean, who's stopping them in that division, right? So they're going to win the division, and then it just becomes a question, are they a one seed? And if they're a one or a two, well, somebody's probably going to have to go to Arrowhead and beat them. So, look, history will tell you they won't three-peat. That's just what doesn't, you know, it doesn't happen. But if you said to me, who are you picking? It's them. Until somebody proves otherwise, it's them.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I think they're in as good a position as any team to three-peat based on everything you just ran down, Matt. They're kind of in the catbird seat. I know San Fran will have something to say about it. Maybe they'll get back there, or the Lions as well. Another team in the NFC I wanted to ask you about is Philadelphia. The Falcons will see Philly in week two. I can't make heads or tails of them. The way that they started versus the way that they finished is the biggest collapse in the regular season I've ever seen. How do you think they rebound?
I think they win the division because somebody has to. Like, I think Dallas is just in a very weird spot. Dallas is one of these teams I feel like they have no confidence in themselves because the front office and the ownership show no confidence. The Giants, to me, are horrific offensively. I actually think Washington's better than people might think, but I don't think they're quite ready to, like, go in the division. The Eagles, I got to be honest. That thing, I know it's not great radio. That could go both ways. That could either be, hey, they figured some things out. They rectified some things. They shored up a few relationships, and they go in 11 games. That could also be the team is completely quit on Sirianni, and by week four, everybody's calling up Philadelphia radio screaming that he's got to be fired. I don't think there's any team in the league, with the possible exception of the Jets, that the first month of the year is more important for. If they don't get off to a good start, that could be a disaster in Philadelphia.
You just mentioned the Jets. Rodgers made news again today, this time for apparently taking his team to task after a sloppy practice. What do you make of the Jets this season? If Rodgers comes back and plays healthy, what's their potential?
Well, so I guess there's two answers to that. So the potential is that they're really good because they should have a good defense, they have a very good defense. And you have Mike Williams now, and you have Garrett Wilson, and you have Breece Hall, and a revamped offensive line. You have Rodgers. So the potential is that they're really good. The potential is they win the division. They're in the divisional round. They're going to Arrowhead, and they're a real pain for Kansas City. Maybe they beat them. My prediction of them is I don't think they even make the playoffs because Tyron Smith is there, and he's a terrific player. He's hurt all the time.
Yeah.
Mike Williams is a terrific player. He's hurt all the time. I have no idea if Robert Saleh can coach. Zero. Nat Hackett, Nathaniel Hackett, I know he can't coach. I've seen that over and over and over. It's not against the man personally. It's not great. I think they're defensively going to be very good again. They should be. I don't doubt that. They'll get Reddick in there at some point. He'll help. But offensively, like, if Mike Williams doesn't come in and play really well, what are you talking about? It's Garrett Wilson and what? I mean, it's nobody who scares you on the outside other than him. They don't have a tight end that scares you. Breece Hall's fine as a running back. He's a good player, but he, you know, we're not talking about Adrian Peterson in his prime. Like, and I just don't believe in the coaching staff. And I also think, like you just point out, so Rodgers takes the team to task after a tough practice. You're going to tell me there aren't a handful of guys sitting there going, hey, man, you weren't even here for minicamp.
Yep.
Like, who are you kidding? You know, it just feels so disingenuous. And if I know if I'm a veteran on the Jets, I won't say exactly what I would be thinking. It's a family show. I'd be like, are you kidding me? Get lost. I don't want to hear from you about anything about practice. You didn't bother to show up for it.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I don't, but the problem is, Matt, I don't think anyone on that team has the gravitas to approach Rodgers and convey that message even kindly on behalf of his teammates, and I think that's part of the problem there in New York. They not only handed the keys to the franchise to him, they handed the keys to the entire Jet organization. He reports directly to Woody Johnson. Yeah. He skips over Robert Saleh, Joe Douglas, anything he wants, he gets. So what about the team on the other side of town there? Is there any chance, because I frankly don't think so, Daniel Jones is back as the Giants quarterback next season?
No. No. That is one of the worst. Look, every once in a while, there's a contract in sports that the second it's signed, you look at it and you know it's a disaster. Like, you don't even need to see one snap, and you're like, oh, that's terrible. Who? Why? Who's doing this? Daniel Jones, that contract, that's it. The second that – look, the Giants screwed that up from Jump Street. All they had to do was extend Barkley and tag Jones. That's all they had to do. But instead, they reversed it. They went the wrong direction. And now you're sitting here with a lame duck quarterback, because everybody and their mother knows he's not coming back unless it's an unbelievable year. And let's be real. Other than Malik Nabers, who's a rookie, you don't know who you're going to get. Who are they throwing the ball to? Who scares you? I mean, it's just it's an offense with very little talent on it outside of Andrew Thomas and potentially Nabers. You know, that team, they're going to win some games. It's going to be on defense. My real question is, are they going to keep Dable after this year? I think firing Dable would be a mistake, but if they go 5-12, does he survive it?
All right, let's finish up here locally in Atlanta. Matt, I've seen a couple of practices now as we're finishing up with our buddy Matt Verderam. Check him out on Sports Illustrated. He's doing a training camp whip around right now. He is in Green Bay, as he said, staring at the beautiful Lambeau Field. All right, I saw Kirk Cousins, Matt, for a couple of practices. Dude looks phenomenal, in my opinion, especially compared to what we saw here in Atlanta the past couple of years. If all goes right, Kirk's healthy, plays all 17 games. Bijan has his all-pro breakout season. The defense, bend don't break. The ceiling for the Falcons this year is what?
They win the division, they win a playoff game, and they are a legitimate threat to win in the divisional round. Look, I don't think there's talent in Detroit. I don't think there's talent in San Francisco. But after that, in the NFC, like, who's the team? You know, like, there's no way Atlanta can be better than them. I mean, I'm high on the Packers, but you could argue that there's a world where they're better than the Packers. You could argue there's a world they're better than the Rams. You could argue they're better than the Chiefs. Look, I'm picking the Falcons to win the South. I think they will win the South. I think Cousins is a very underrated player. Look, he's not great, but he's a very good, solid quarterback. I think they're going to win 10 games. The defense, to your point, look, they're not going to be great. They just can't be a catastrophe. And if they're not that, which I think they have enough talent, they won't be that, then I think, you know what, the Falcons are good enough that they should be a team that makes the playoffs and, you know, wins a game or so.
All right, Matt, appreciate the time as always. Again, make sure you check him out at Sports Illustrated. Enjoy your time at Lambeau.
Hey, thanks a lot. Take care.
All right, that is Matt Verderam there joining me. All right, when we get back, like I said, Steve Kerr, if you missed the soundbite, we'll play it. He talked about his decision to not play Jason Tatum. He messed up, and it's not for the reason that you think. I'll explain, and then we need to have a in-depth conversation about the reasoning behind it. And I'll take your calls on it, too, if you want to weigh in, 404-726-0929. What is the coach's role in sports? We'll talk about it next.